这就是北京
参加。
I congratulate you all.
非常感谢大家。
Thank you.
感谢大家。
I was worried that maybe the classes were too long and Gloria was getting tired.
我和大家一直担心，就是这个课程是不是太长啊？奉献者有一点熬不住了。
没有，
再讲。
明天再讲。
Tomorrow,
or maybe too complicated and it's way over my head and I'm going to go take a nap.
或者是妈妈也担心就是这个课程太复杂了，简直是我有点摸不着边际，然后我就干脆打盹得了。
I'll share something with you.
我跟大家分享一下。
Sometimes devotees say the following.
那么有的时候奉献者这样说的。
Devotees that have been practicing Krishna consciousness for some time, like some of you.
那么就像大家在做的，修习 Krishna 知觉已经有一段时间了。
In audiences, there's almost always new people.
那么呢，在听众当中呢，总是有一些新来的奉献者。
So the speaker has to be sensitive to the fact that there's new people.
然后呢，这个在那里讲课的人呢，他就对此就是要意识到，在场有一些新来的奉献者。
So classes are often oriented to new people.
所以呢，这个课程呢，对于新的奉献者来说呢，是不为他们所熟知的。
And then some devotees like you have been practicing for years and years and years and years. It's still the same new people subject matter.
然后呢，对于那些修习了一年一年又一年的那些奉献者来说呢，有的时候课程的内容好像你们觉得是给新的奉献者讲的。
In one sense, that's nice.
那么就是从一个角度来说吧，这样也不错。
Prabhupada said, repetition is necessary for clear understanding.
那么释迦牟尼佛总是说，为了清晰的了解，不断的重复是很有必要的。
In his purports, Prabhupada would often repeat simple messages from different angles of vision again and again for clear understanding.
那么，释迦牟尼佛经常在要旨里面对于一个非常简单的道理不断的重复的去说，就是为了让大家有一个更为清晰的了解。
And some devotees have shared with me.
有一些奉献者跟我一起这样分享过。
Well, that's nice.
这样很好。
And it's beneficial.
而且呢，对大家都很有益处。
Sometimes can't you speak on something that's not just for new people?
那么有的时候，您可不可以讲一讲，不是针对新来的奉献者所讲的内容呢？
Please.
请您讲更多的一些内容吧。
So after hearing that so many times, I finally said, okay.
好，所以呢，这样了解多，实际的了解到这些情况之后，我想这样说这个课程也是可以的。
And Sri Brahma Samhita is such a subject matter.
那么呢，圣 Brahma Samhita 婆罗诃摩颂就是这样的一个复杂而深奥的一个题旨。
And some of the new people.I ask, how much are you understanding?
有的时候我问一些新来的奉献者，你们能够了解其中多少部分？
And at least two replies I got was 20%.
那么至少到目前为止有两个人回答说，20% 的内容可以明白。
So in one sense I felt bad.
那么呢，从一种角度来说呢，我感觉到有点感觉不太好。
But in another sense, that's part of the price that you pay when you present something in greater depth and, you know, more elaborately. It's one of the prices one pays for that kind of presentation. That some people can only understand 20% is part of the cost.
Ah, 那么就是
price.
那么就是这个能了解其中20%的内容的这些奉献者，他们已经付出了一些了。
So if you're in the category of one of those newer devotees,
如果你是其中的这样的一位，这样的属于新来的奉献者的范畴之列的话，
that's been able to understand only 20%.
那
if you have been able to only understand 20%,
如果你只能是了解其中，只能明白其中的20%的内容的话，
I'm sorry.
很抱歉。
But appreciate that those that are experienced devotees are feeling happiness.
那么呢，那些对在修习 Krishna 这个当中有一些经验的奉献者来说，他们听了这个题旨是很快乐、很高兴的。
And go and discuss with them. Can you share with me the 80% of the things that I didn't understand?
那么呢，他们呢就会跟我说，能不能告诉我，跟我们一起分享那些80%，就是没有明白的那80%的内容吗
？Hear from them.
那么呢，这就是他们。
And maybe the number will go up to 30% or 40%.
可能就是那些了解20%的奉献者，的20%内容的奉献者，他们随。不断的学习就会了解的更多30%-40%。
And then one year from now.
然后呢，在一年之后。
You can go back and listen to the recordings.
然后，就再一次去听这个录音讲座。
And maybe it'll be 50%.
可能那个时候你就能够明白其中的50%的内容。
Of course, you won't have all these nice pictures.
当然了，这里面有很多非常漂亮的。
那个时候没有
啊，那个时候就没有那么多的图片。
But the message is still there.
但是呢，讯息仍然是一样的。
And at least you'll appreciate this is a very profound science.
那么至少就能够理解到这门科学是非常深厚、是非常深奥的，而且是非常高深的这样的一个体旨。
Anyone can chant.
每个人都可以念诵。
And when one chants Hare Krishna Maha Mantra,
当我们唱诵 Hare Krishna Maha Mantra,
one's consciousness becomes cleansed.
那么一个人的知觉就得到净化。
When consciousness becomes cleansed just by the sound of the holy name,
那么通过圣名的音证，一个人的内心就能得到净化。
And gradually, as one's consciousness is cleansed,
随着一个人的知觉逐渐的得以净化
，and one hears Krishna katha messages about Krishna,
当这样的奉献者听到了 Krishna katha 关于 Krishna 的话题
，gradually the light goes on.
逐渐的，他就会得以
and things that were previously not so easy to understand.Then you can little understand.
逐渐，他就能够明白一些了。那么以前不能明白的那些内容，现在他能够逐渐的明白了。
The spiritual world is vast; it's unlimited.
灵性世界是浩瀚无穷的。
And the glories of Krishna are vast and unlimited.
而 Krishna 的荣耀也是浩瀚无穷的。
We not only have a whole lifetime ahead of us of hearing Krishna katha.
那么实际上
Not only there's a lifetime of hearing Krishna Katha
啊，不仅仅只是这一辈子是听不完 Krishna Katha Krishna 的话题
Just waiting for us to go deeper and deeper into the ocean of nectar
那么呢我们需要就是不断的潜入到这个海洋的深部
It goes on eternally
这样的话题是永恒进行着
So, that's a little of sharing with you of a little internal struggle that I've been going through while doing all of this.
所以呢，这就是跟大家来分享的。那么就是在之间呢，就是对大家的有一些这样的顾虑。
Okay.
Yeah.
听
秋
你说。
She got it?
就是啊，在此 ，Maharaj 不是跟他说了嘛？有一些担心大家有的人听不明白，就是尤其是新来的奉献者，然后 有一些休息 Krishna 拒绝的一段时间的奉献者听了以后心里挺高兴的、
这个、最后一句、
就是这就是刚才 Maharaj 给大家分享的他的这个担心。
So yesterday we ended up with a question that didn't have an answer.
那么昨天呢，还没有回，就是在场的有一些奉献者想要回答问题，但是还没有回答大家的。
And I said I would do a little research and get back to you this morning.
那么呢，那个时候，这个问题没有回答，马哈拉吉说到他要回去查一下真典，然后再回答这个那个奉献者提出来的问题。
In the painting, we see Lord Shiva.yawning
在这个图片里面我们看见主希瓦在那里打哈欠就这样
Now, what was the reason that Lord Shiva was yawning was the question
那么呢有人就提出来了当时主希瓦为什么打哈欠
So it's found in Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 10 Chapter
23
So Lord Shiva is commonly seen with a trident
那么主希瓦呢通常手里是拿着三叉戟的
So in, there was this battle if you remember between the followers of Banasura and the members of the Yadu dynasty.
那么呢这场当时呢亚杜王朝和的成员们和巴拉苏拉的军队之间发生了一场大战。
Aniruddha, one of the offspring of Lord Krishna,
Aniruddha 是 Krishna 的一位后代
was in jail in Banasura's prison.
那那个时候就被关在了巴拉苏拉的监狱
because he had been brought there by Chitraleka to enjoy with Usha
因为阿尼努拉被 Chitraleka 就是Usha 的一位同伴带到了 Usha 的皇宫和他一起进行这种享乐
If you weren't here last night all of what I just said won't make any sense to you
那么呢如果大家昨天没来的话现在就是给大家讲 这段过程让大家有一个概念
But you can read chapter 63 of Krishna book or Srimad Bhagavatam and you'll find the story there
那么呢大家可以回去阅读一下圣典国家瓦坛第十篇就是三章十二到十四世节其中就描述了这个故事
So the Yadu dynasty demanded release Aniruddha from your prison
所以亚杜王朝的那些成员们他们要求巴拉苏拉放了阿尼鲁达
4 months passed and 阿尼鲁达 hadn't returned
那个时候四个月过去了阿尼鲁达一直没有返回他的家中
So Krishna and Balaram and the Yadu army came marching to Banasura's kingdom and challenged them release 阿尼鲁达
所以呢 Krishna Balarama 带着亚杜王朝的军队浩浩荡荡的向巴拉苏拉的城堡进发向他挑战要求他放了阿尼鲁达
Banasura had many arms he was proud no way am I going to surrender to Krishna
那么巴拉苏拉带着自己庞大的军队说没门 Krishna 你无法就是我不会放了他
so there was a big battle
所以呢他们之间进行了一场血战
and Krishna was fighting directly against Lord Shiva because Lord ShivaBanasura was Lord Shiva's devotee.
那么 Banasura 呢是主希瓦的奉献者。那个时候 Krishna 对弈的、对战的就是主希瓦。
So the two were fighting one another, Krishna and Lord Shiva.
所以 Krishna 和主希瓦他们双方对峙。
And Lord Shiva fired various weapons, and Krishna responded to each of the weapons.
那么呢，主希瓦向 Krishna 投掷了他的武器 ，Krishna 一一的挡回了他的武器。
Lord Shiva sent a Brahmastra.
然后主希瓦发出了他的 Brahmastra.
Very powerful weapon.
这是一种非常强有力量的武器。
Krishna stopped the weapon with another Brahmastra.
然后 Krishna 呢就发射出了另外一种 Brahmastra 武器，反射光武器。
So Lord Shiva sent a wind weapon.
然后 主希腊就发射出了这个风武器。
Krishna counteracted with a mountain weapon.
然后 Krishna 以高山武器挡了回去。
Lord Shiva sent a fire weapon.
然后主希腊发射出了火武器。
Krishna counteracted with a rain weapon.
然后 Krishna 以这个雨水的武器反就是抵挡了他。
Lord Shiva sent his ultimate weapon, his Pashupastra weapon.
然后主希腊就发射出了他的 Pashupastra。
Pretty good. And Krishna countered that weapon with his Narayana Astra.
然后 Krishna 就发射出了 Narayana Astra 武器。
Then Krishna decided just to put Lord Shiva out of the picture for a while. He sent a yawn weapon.
所以那个时候 Krishna 决定让主希腊离开这个战场。所以呢就是不打这个仗了然后就让主希腊开始打哈欠
And Lord Shiva started to yawn
然后主希腊就开始哈欠连天
So then Krishna could fight with all the other soldiers on the battlefield
这样呢
including Vanasura
这样呢 Krishna 就能够去铲除战场上的所有其他的对手包括 Vanasura 在内
So that's whyLord Shiva was yawning.
这就是为什么主希腊当时打哈欠。
In Bhagavad Gita,
在国家赞歌里面
，In the purport of Bhagavad Gita 233.
那么在圣典国家赞歌第二章三十三世节的要旨
，Prabhupada writes that one time Lord Shiva heard about the prowess of fighting of Arjuna.
那么有一次呢，主希腊听说，Arjuna 非常。骁勇善战
So he wanted to experience firsthand the power of Arjuna.
所以呢，那么希瓦就想第一个想要去看一看 Arjuna 的力量到底有多强大。
So he came to Arjuna in disguise.
所以呢，主希瓦呢就乔装打扮自己去到了 Arjuna 面前。
He disguised himself as a hunter.
那么主希瓦呢就把自己乔装打扮成一个猎手。
In a very tricky way, he challenged Arjuna.
然后呢，他非常巧妙地向 Arjuna 发出挑战。
So that Arjuna would have to fight Lord Shiva as a hunter.
这样呢 ，Arjuna 就把主希瓦当作猎手去跟他对战。
And Arjuna fought so well, he was defeating Lord Shiva.
那么 ，Arjuna 是如此的擅长作战，他甚至打败了主希瓦。
And Lord Shiva started to laugh and smile.
然后主希瓦开怀大笑。
He said, "Wow, you're really a good fighter, just like everybody said."
那么他就说啊、哦，你是真的是这样的一个神战手，你就像其他人所说的那样。
I'd like to give you a benediction.
我要给你一个祝福。
I'd like to give you my own a copy of or expansion of my Pashupata Astra.
我要把我的 Pashupata Astra 武器的扩展给你。
And this Pashupata Astra is practically invincible.
那么呢，这个 Pashupata Astra 这样的武器是非常非常不可思议的，具有这种不可思议的力量。
It's used.By Lord Shiva at the time of universal devastation.
那么呢，这个武器呢是在宇宙毁灭之时，主希瓦才会使用的。
Anyway, that's a little extra from yesterday.
那么，这就是昨天关于昨天的这个问题。
So we discussed about Ganesh.
昨天还讨论到了 Ganesh.
Now I was looking for the explanation, which I can't remember, about how Ganesh's tusk.Was broken.
那么大家，就是来看一看 Ganesh 他的这个獠牙是怎么断的。
Do you know?
Maharaj.
Do you know?
知道吗？他的獠牙是怎么断？就是象牙。Shima 的吧。
That's something else. Is that how his tusk was broken? Here's a service that Ganesh did.
那么呢 ，Ganesh 他做过这样的一个服务。
Vyasadeva was approached by the sages.
那么那个时候有一群圣人去到 Vyasadeva 面前
to write the history of Mahabharata.
那么去撰写 Mahabharata.
But he said it would take too long. It's too big.
然后呢，比亚塞德又说，马哈巴拉塔篇幅太长，不容易写。
So the suggestion was made. This was by Narada. Suggestion was made. We'll provide a very capable scribe who can write it down. And as you speak it, you don't just have to speak it, and he'll write it down.
然后呢 ，Narada 就这样做出一个建议了，说我们会去找来一个就是神速抄写的一个人，你以什么样的速度说出来，他就会以同样的速度把你所说的话记录下来。
So he agreed.
所以呢，他们就同意了。
And the person who was asked to be the scribe was Ganesh.
那么呢，就是有这种抄写能力的人呢，就是 Ganesh。
He wasn't too honored by just writing something down.
他所以呢，他非常就是能够把这个所听到的能够如数的抄写下来。
But he didn't want to say no when asked by Narada.
所以呢，他呢感觉到自己很荣幸能够得到这样的一个任务。后来 Narada Muni 就请求他这么做，他没有拒绝。
So he agreed on one condition.
但是呢 ，Ganesh 提出了一个条件。
I will agree as long as Vyasadeva continues to speak in such a manner I don't put my pen down, my writing instrument.
那么呢，他说了，我作为一个抄写的这样的一个工具，只要 Vyasadeva 他不断的这样去说。Sorry, could you repeat?
Sure. He was reluctant because he was a little proud and he didn't think.This isn't a very honorable service to just write something down. So,all right, I'll agree on the condition that Vyasadeva speaks uninterruptedly, such that I don't put my pen down, my writing instrument down.
然后他就提出了一个条件，因为他当时内心有一点点骄傲，说就这么一个抄写的活动，就是抄写记录。他觉得对他来说就是不算是什么问题，他内心就有一点骄傲。后来他就提出一个条件，说除非 Vyasadeva 能够其中不中断的去述说，这样我才会给他抄写。
So that message was taken back to Vyasadeva.
后来呢，这个消息呢就传到了 Vyasadeva 的耳朵。
Vyasadeva thought he's a little proud.
然后 Vyasadeva 就说这个 Ganesh 有点骄傲。
All right, I agree.
然后呢，
And I had a condition.
然后 Vyasadeva 说，我同意。但是呢 ，Vyasadeva 说，我也有一个条件。
He'll have to realize everything that I'm speaking.
然后 Ganesh 必须要觉悟，认识了，深刻的认识了我所说的一切。
And if he doesn't realize, then he'll have to stop.
如果他不能够明白的话，他就得停下来。
So.Ganesh agreed. Reluctantly, but he agreed.
然后当时的 Ganesh 他虽然有点犹豫，但是他还是同意了。
And it took 3 years.
那么，这花了三年的时间。
I believe it. It takes a long time to write something.
我相信就是他们花了这么长的时间，就是我相信就是去做专注，就是写书的时候会花很长的时间。
So Ganesh became an enlightened individual by hearing Mahabharata.
所以呢 ，Ganesh 通过聆听 Mahabharata， 他得到了觉悟。
But that's nothing to do with this tusk.
但是这个话题好像跟这个主题
完了，这个维亚萨说的越来越快
啊。后来维亚萨他说的越来越快。
好了，他就写的非常进入狂喜中，他写，后来好像那笔墨没有，他一着急把他用牙齿了。这我是清楚。
Oh, he heard that. And Vyasadeva spoke the Mahabharata. The speed is more fast, and then and Ganesh writes also according to his speed, very fast, and at last, the ink of the.
他陷入了狂喜。
And Ganesh, that time was ecstatic, so, and then he broke his path.
Use
a different version.
And he used his path. 摔当。
Puranic stories get to be very interesting.
那么这个宇宙古史当中的这个故事啊，有的是妙趣横生的，听起来。
So unless we hear something in a authorized from an authorized source, we don't pay too much attention to it.
那么呢，我们现在来听一听，就是权威处所讲的，可能我们对此并没有以前并没有太在意过。
What I described about the writing is found directly in Mahabharata itself.
那么呢，这个呢，在 Mahabharata 里面也能找到。
So this morning, we'll, Krishna permitting, we'll finish this section.
那么今天早上呢，我们要完成的部分。
Govinda is the Lord of all lords.
那么完成的这一部分的抬头叫做 Govinda 是所有神明之主。
And we've heard through text 50, we're going to hear 51, 52.
那么我们现在要讲的是第51、52诗节。
And 51 is Govinda is the basis of the cosmic elements.
那么第51诗节讲述的是 Govinda 是所有宇宙元素的基础。
So let's chant the verse together.
我们现在一起来念诵这个诗节。
Agni Vahi Gagan Amo Urudhashta Thalasa Kama Masina Gagantrayani Yanasmar Bahani Jagavani Vilasiyamta Govinda Adi Purusha Namaha Mahajami. Translation.
译文：三个世界由九种元素组成，即火、土、以太、水、空气、方向、时间、灵魂和心意。我崇拜原始的主Govinda，从他那里，他们流焉而出，存在于他之中，在宇宙洪水之时进入他之中。
So.There are different elements.
那么有不同的元素。
And those elements emanate from the personality of Godhead.
这些元素全都流演自至尊人格守神。
They're maintained by his maintaining potencies.
那么他们是通过至尊主的维系的能量而得以维系。
And when it's time for annihilation, they're again withdrawn.Within the body of Mahavishnu.
那么当毁灭之际，这些元素全都被 Mahavishnu 收入他的体内。
We already heard that Mahavishnu is a kala or portion of a primary portion of Krishna.
那么我们都已经听到了 ，Mahavishnu 是 kala， 它是至尊人格守神的全权部分的部分。
And so that means that, Krishna is the basis of all those elements and they make up creation.
所以那么也就意味着 Krishna 是所有这些元素的基础，而这些元素就构成了宇宙的展示。
So we're going to spend a little bit of time discussing different systems of analyzing the elements of creation.
那么我们现在来讲一讲分析物质分析宇宙体系的构成的元素的不同的方法。
In this verse of Brahma Samhita,
那么在 Brahma Samhita 的这一个诗节当中
，It mentions nine elements.
这里说到了九种元素。
In Bhagavad Gita, it mentions eight elements.
那么在国家梵歌里面说到了八种元素。
And another place in Bhagavad Gita mentions 24.
那么在国家梵歌的另外一个地方又提到了24种元素。
And in Srimad Bhagavatam it mentions 24.
那么在圣典国家晚坛也讲到了24种元素。
So somebody might get confused.
可能有的人会感觉有些困惑。
So fortunately I know that all of you won't be confused.
那么可能就是幸运的是我知道你们对感到困惑的事情我比较了解。
Because we're going to spend a little bit of time together explaining how is that possible.
然后我们现在呢花一点时间来讨论一下这是怎么回事。
In short, there are different systems of looking at the same thing.
那么实际上就是简短来讲对同样的事情的分析的方法体系不一样。
here's an example that I like to think of.
那么呢，这里有一个例子，我给大家举一个我所想到的。
Supposing you're somewhere in China and you want to go to another place in China.
那么，假如你在中国的某一个地方，你想去中国的另外一个地方。
There's different maps that you can use to get from one place to another place.
那么你就可以有很多地图，你都可以去用，从这个地方到另外地方的地图有很多。
One is you can get out a flat road map.
啊，那么你呢？有的时候可以找到一个公路图。
And make a little plan of how to get from place, you know, one place to the other place.
然后就是做下一个计划，怎么样从这个地方去到那个地方。
That's common.
这是司空见惯的。
Then there's another one. You can go to some place, yahoo.com, and put in this place and that place, and it'll tell you drive so many feet or miles, and then go to another place, turn left, turn right. You can get there that way too.
那么呢，还有一种方法就是你在网上，例如 yahoo.com， 那么你从把这个地方标出来，在网上搜索这个地图，然后就告诉你，嗯，这个驾车驾从哪个方向驾驶，然后驾驶多少个小时就能够到达那个地方。
There's another system.
这是另外一个方法。
You get a GPS.
还有一个是 GPS.
You put in the destination, press a button.
然后你就把这个你要去的这个地方。打到这个输入进去。
And some very bossy lady starts telling you where to turn left and right.
然后呢，这个 GPS 它里面就会有一个声音告诉你怎么样去走。
That's another way to get from one place to another place.
那么呢，你这就是另外一个方法，你从这个地方到达另外一个地方的这种方法。
And that's using satellite technology.
还有一个呢，就是应用技术。
Here's another one.
卫星仪导，导仪图。
You can have a three-dimensional map.
那么你可以有这种三维图。
You know, like a big globe.
啊，就像是这个一个球体一样。
You go from one place to another place that way.
那么你就从这个卫星这个示意图当中，你就了解到怎么样从这个地方去到那个地方。
I could make the list longer, but you get the idea.
那么我这样的例子可以罗列出一大堆。
What's important is.Effectively, you go from the place that you are to the place you want to go, however you do it.
那么不管你怎么做吧，最重要的是你要从这个地方去到那个地方。
So there, similarly, there's different systems of describing the composition of the material creation.
所以呢，同样的，对这个物质世界的构造的，分析的方法也有不同。
You may have your favorite one, or you may have one you're more used to.
可能你有你最喜欢的一种方式，可能你有你习惯的方式。
Some are more detailed, some are less detailed.
有的呢，分析的更为透彻，更为细节，有的不是那么细节。
Provided they are coming in descending fashion through higher authority from Krishna ultimately, they're fine.
那么呢，就是从 Krishna 那里自上而下的得到这样一个权威的方式。
We'll start with Bhagavad Gita chapter 14.
那么我们来讲一讲圣典不再梵歌第十四章。
What's the subject matter of chapter 14, Bhagavad Gita?
那么不再梵歌的第十四章讨论的主题是什么呢？
物质
三形态。The three modes of material nature.
Three modes of material nature.
是物质自然三形态。
So it starts, the chapter starts describing material nature.
那么这个章节呢，是以描述物质自然为开始。
And that material nature is identified by the Sanskrit term Mahad Brahma.
那么呢，这个物质自然呢，它是用一个梵文词来表述，就是 Mahad Brahma.
And Mahad Brahman means.The totality of the material energy.
那 Mahabrahman 的意思是全部的物质元素的组合。
So, Krishna says in verse 3.
那么 Krishna 在第十四章第三十节当中说到。
That he impregnates that Mahabrahman with all living entities.
那么他说到了，他将生物体孕育到了 Mahabrahman 之中。
And that makes possible the births of all living beings.
这样呢，所有的生物体才有诞生的可能。
So let's just look at that for a moment.
我们来看一看这个事情。
Here, he, Krishna is saying that he impregnates.
那么 Krishna 说他受孕，他使 Brahm, 使 Mahabrahman 受孕。
We can also say Mahavishnu impregnates.
我们也可以说是 Mahavishnu 使其受孕。
Because it's his glance.
因为 Mahavishnu 通过他的瞥视。
We can also say that Shambhu, the halo of the glance of Mahavishnu impregnates.
那么我们也可以这样说 ,Mahavishnu 的目光 ,Shambhu, 使其受孕。
Those are three different statements.
那么这是用三个不同的表达表三个不同的方式表达出来的。
Which one is correct?
那么哪一个正确呢？
And if one of them is correct, does it mean that the other two are incorrect?
那么呢，其中的一个对，并不意味着另外的两个是不对的。
Well, they're all correct.
他们的说法全都是正确的。
And they're all correct because of the understanding that Krishna is the source of everything.
那么为什么这三个说法都是对的呢？是因为了解到 Krishna 是一切的根源。
Krishna is the source of everything.
Krishna 是一切的根源。
He's the source of the Mahabrahma.
Krishna 是 Mahabrahman 的根源。
He's the source of the living entities.
Krishna 是生物体的根源。
He's the source of the process of creation.
Krishna 是创造过程的根源。
He's the source of Mahavishnu. He's the source of Lord Shiva.
Krishna 是 Mahavishnu 的根源。Krishna 是主 Shiva 的根源。
So Krishna is the source of everything.
所以 Krishna 是一切的根源。
Now this verse is saying that Krishna is the source of the.Elements of creation.
那么在这里面说到了 ，Krishna 是宇宙创造元素的根源。
And it mentions 9 elements in number.
而且这里也说也列举了元素有九种。
Now these first 5 I put in brackets because they're consistent in all the systems.
那么我在这里就是把前面的五个罗列出来了。
The Sanskrit term is.Panchabhuta, pancha means 5.
那么梵文当中里面说的 panchabhuta, pancha 是五。
The 5 gross elements.
五大粗糙元素。
You know, that thing that everybody thinks that they are, there's this body.
那么呢实际上这些受制约的灵魂他们认为自己是这个物质躯体。
But in Brahma Samhita, in this verse, it mentions the soul.
那么在 Brahma Samhita 的这个诗节也提到了灵魂。
And direction,
方向
and time,
时间
as well as the mind,
还有心意
Now, in Bhagavad Gita chapter 7,
那么在博迦梵歌第七章
it mentions the same Panchabhuta, the 5 gross elements,
也说到了五大粗糙元素
the mind is also mentioned,
也提到了心意
And intelligence and false ego are also mentioned.
还提到了心意和假自我，智性和假自我。
You add them together and you get 8.
那么在《博迦梵歌》里面罗列出来的，一共加起来是八种。
Then in Srimad Bhagavatam,
在圣典《博迦瓦坛》里
，we find 24 elements.
我们发现有24种元素。
The same 8 as in Bhagavad Gita chapter 7.
那么同样的八种，其中的八种元素，在《博迦梵歌》的第七章四十节当中有描述。
And then there's another 15.
那其他的十五种。
5 knowledge acquiring senses.
那么五种接受知识的感官。
5
种活动的感官。
5 working senses.
五种活动感官。
5 objects of the senses.
还有五种感官的对象。
So what's 15 plus 8?
那么还有呢？还有一个是什
么？
15
plus 8.
未展示。
Unmanifested. 15
plus 8.
Come on, you're...
23. 现在已经说到了23种了，还有一种是什么？
So now we're looking for the 24th element. What's that one?
那么大家能够回答一下第24种元素是哪一个吗
There are different lists in different places in that have a different Sanskrit term.
那么呢在不同的地方有不同的这个元素的罗列所以呢也提到了不同的数
Even within that system of 24, there's some variation.
那么即便是这里说24种元素。
In Kapila Dev's teachings to Devahuti on Sankhya philosophy,
那么呢在卡皮拉教导 Devahuti 提到了 Sankhya 哲学。
He uses the term chittam,
他用了 chittam 这个词。
Which Prabhupada translates as contaminated consciousness.
那么呢 chittam 这个词是跟帕帕解释说是受污染的知觉或者意识。
And in that same chapter 26, it's chaita is sometimes used in place of this one, chitta.
那么在第《佛家瓦坛》第三篇二十六章里面，有的时候用 chaita 这个词，也是同一个意思，受污染的知觉。
But the meaning is taken as the same.
但是呢，这个词的它们两个词的意思是一样的。
If you read very carefully in Bhagavad Gita chapter 13.
如果大家仔细的去阅读一下圣典《佛家瓦坛》的第三篇
You'll find the list of 24 elements in verses 6 and 7
那么呢你就会发现有其中有一个师节提到了27种元素
Read the purport carefully
大家要好好的阅读这个要旨
Prabhupada counts 24
他算了算24种他说道
And in that list, avyaktam is number 24.
那么呢，在这个世界当中呢，第二十四种元素是 avyaktam.
And he calls it the unmanifested or the unmanifested modes of material nature.
那么呢，释迦牟尼佛称之为未展示的自然属性。
It's like a big warehouse.
那就像是你去到这个。去到一个储存库。
Somebody has a store.
有的人他有自己的这个仓库。
And they put their retail stuff out in the store.
Retail
items, retail, like you know, shop, a store.
就像是你去到了一个这个商店一样，卖就像。百货大楼。
But that's just what they have in their store.
所以呢，这就是这个百货大楼里所存放的东西。
Somewhere not too far away, they have a big warehouse.
那么呢，就是在这个不远处有一个大的这个百货大楼或者是仓库。
And they keep a lot of stuff in that big warehouse.
那么在这个百货大楼里有那么多的员工。
That's what this one is.The unmanifested modes of material nature.
那么呢，这就是 avyaktam， 就是未展示的自然属性。
Krishna can produce more and more and more.
那么 Krishna 他能够产生出更多的元素。
It's just not manifested yet.
但是呢，只不过是还没有展示出来而已。
And Prabhupada writes in one purport.
那么释迦牟尼佛在要旨里面写道。
Exactly, a series of verses that say.Time energy is number 25.
那么他就说到了时间能量是24种元素，第24种元素。
And notice that time is up here in that Brahma Samhita system.
那么呢，在 Brahma Samhita 里面也提到了时间，这个师节里提到了时间。
Because time is present from the along with the glance of Mahavishnu, the living entities go zoom zoom. So does time.
那么呢，这个时间呢是产生自 Mahavishnu， 又通过他的目光把所有的生物体尊重，就使这个物受孕其中，使其的受孕，就在那个时候时间就产生了。
Krishna says the same thing in Bhagavad Gita that Brahma is saying in this verse.
所以呢。在 Krishna 在佛家梵歌里所说的同一个题旨，在 Brahma Samhita 里面 ，Brahma 也说到这个世界当中说到。
Please read the translation. I am the creation.
我是创造。
Chinese.
我是创造，我是毁灭，我是一切的基础，我是
栖息
之地，我是永恒的种子。
And a very similar, almost identical message in chapter 10.
那么呢，在第佛家梵歌的第十章也说到了同一个题旨：我是超灵哦，阿朱呢，就居于众生的心中。我是开始，我是中间，我是一切存在的开始、中间和结束。
So what they don't know, the philosophers and scientists,
那么这个哲学家还有科学家们他们所不知道的不了解的是
what lies beyond those elements,
那么呢就是超然于物质元素之上的。
What I'm going to show now is taken directly from Tamal Krishnamurti's manuscript that he prepared on Brahma Samhita that never got published.
那么就是我现在呢来讲一讲 Tamal Krishna Goswami 关于 Brahma Samhita 他所著的这个所写撰著的一些文章，但是这些文章都还没有发表。
And rather than have you translate all this, I'll just summarize.
那么呢，现在 Maharaj 呢来概述一下他所说的那些内容。
There are speculative philosophers.
那么呢，有这样的一些善于心智推敲的一些哲学家。
And there are empiric scientists. Empiric scientists.
Empiric.
Empiric.
物质。哦，物质了是吧 ？Empiric.
Let's say scientists, mundane scientists.
经验主义者。哦，对，还有一些经验主义者，哲学家，经验主义者。有一些就是心智推敲的哲学家，还有一些经验主义哲学家。
They like to explain everything with God out of the picture.
然后呢，他们就是想就是他们。
With God gone, God
is dead. 那么他们呢，就是就他们的就是用这个神死了这样的理念去解释他们的理论。
However they explain this way, that way, the other way, whatever their model is.
那么呢，不管他们是以这样的方式、那样的方式等等去解释。
They cannot know what lies beyond those elements.
他们是无法解释就是超然于这些物质元素之上的这个对象。
And the fact is that they originate from Govinda.
那么呢实际上所有的这一切的根源就是 Govinda.
And about Govinda, they have no knowledge.
所以呢这些科学家们这些哲学家们对 Govinda 一无所知。
I'll tell you a little story.
我给大家告诉大家一个小故事。
It illustrates this.
那么呢，这个小故事呢，就说明了这一点。
America, when I was this in my senior year in high school.
那么呢，那个时候，当我在那个高中的时候。
My family, my parents made an arrangement with a foreign exchange facility, foreign exchange student. Foreign.Exchange. Someone from our school went to another country. Someone from another country came to our school.
那那个时候呢，我们的父亲呢就给我进行安排了一个就是和交换
国际交换
学校，国际交流学校这样的一个便利条件。
And my mother and father were the sponsor of the students that come to stay in our home in my senior year school.
然后呢，我的父母呢就作为资助人，然后
交换生住在我家。
交换就是那些国外的学生可以住在我们家。
So the student that came to stay in our home, fortunately, was a male.
然后那个时候呢，就是那个国外的那个学生呢住在我们家，那是一个男的，是一个男学生。
He was from Tokyo.
他是来自于日本的东京。
And his name is Ken Ijiri.
他的名字叫 Ken Ijiri.
And he was brilliant.
他是非常
amazing scholarly.
他不是 brilliant,
非常杰出，非常优秀的一个。
Yes, genius.
他是非常聪明的，是个天才，是个天才。genius.
So after.We both graduated from the same school.
然后当我们两个人从同一个学校毕业之后
I went to college.
我就上了大学
After some time I met devotees.
后来呢过了一段时间我就遇到了奉献者
And became a Hare Krishna devotee.
后来我就成为了 Hare Krishna 奉献者
He went back to Tokyo.
然后呢他呢就回到了东京
And I didn't see him again until 12 years later.
后来我们时隔十二年之后又再次相遇了。
And he contacted me at the Hare Krishna temple.
然后呢，他呢就是在 Hare Krishna 庙里接触，跟我联系上了。
He found out from my mother that I was living in New York.
然后呢，他从我妈妈那里得知我那会儿生活在纽约。
And he wanted to pay a visit to New York because he had never seen the Statue of Liberty. Statue of Liberty.It's a monument in New York City.
自由，自由女神。Yeah. 然后呢，就是。
自由女神。
因为我的这个老朋友他没有去过纽约，所以呢，他就想去纽约看一看自由女神那个雕像。
The truth of the matter is, I had never been there either.
那么实际上是，当时事实是我虽然在纽约，但是我也没去看那个自由女神的雕像。
But out of social courtesy, I agreed to take him there. He came to New York.
因为我没有兴趣看，因为当时Maharaj说他没有兴趣看自由女神的这个神像。后来当时呢，我就同意了，我跟他一块儿去。
So I very distinctly remember our conversation.
然后我现在呢，就刚才就是那会儿我们俩之间的对话，记得一清二楚。
We're riding a subway in New York City.
那个时候我们呢就在纽约的这个地铁里。
And I asked him, what have you been doing for 12 years?
然后我就问他，你这十二年在干嘛？
He said, I just finished my third PhD.
他说我在十二年当中得到了三个博士学位。
I said, wow. PhD in mathematics.
一个是数学的博士学位。
PhD in physics.
然后物理博士学位。
PhD in microbiology.
还有一个生物的生化博士学位。
He said,
微生化博士学位。
So I just asked him, what was your project for your third PhD?
后来我就问他，你得到这个三个博士学位，你想做干有什么就是要做的事情项目？
Using mathematics and physics and biochemistry, I was studying how acell of a frog divides into two cells. What happens?
然后呢，他就说了，我利用我的数学博士的这个学位，还有这个物理学，还有微生化学，来研究一个细胞怎么分裂成两个细胞的。
那个 frogs
啊，青蛙啊，就是这个青蛙怎么去？
青蛙的细胞。
青蛙的细胞。
You know, cell division, one cell becomes two cells.
Yeah.
One cell becomes two cells, cell division.
然后他就是来研究这个细胞分裂是如何分裂成从一个细胞分裂成两个的。
His assignment was to understand how does it happen.
然后他说这是一种科学。就是去研究一个细胞怎么分成两个细胞的一门这样的科学。
Using math and physics and biochemistry.
那么他要去分析这个一个细胞怎么分成两个细胞的，要需要用数学、物理和微生化学的知识。
That was thinking, wow, 12 years to do that.
然后我就想，哇，就用了十二年时间就研究这个。
So then I asked him a question.
后来我就问了他一个问题。
I said, just suppose.
我说，假如。
That there was a spiritual principle involved of one cell becoming two cells.
那么就是我就是问他，假如有这样的一个灵性的原理，使一个细胞变成两个。
Supposing there had to be a soul or.Super soul or something like that, expanding in that way, that's how it happened.
那么呢，例如就是结束，假如有灵魂超灵的存在于其中，才使其有这样的变化。
What would you think about that?
那你为什么不从这个角度去思考呢？
It's a very interesting answer.
这是一个非常有意思的一个回答。
He said, as a scientist, we can't even.Talk about that.
那么他就说了，科学家甚至不谈这个，只字不提这个。
That was his answer.
这就是他的回答。
It's outside of the jurisdiction of science.
那么呢，就是这个是完全超越了他们的科学的研究范畴之外的。
And I thought, two things after that reply.
那么我在回这样回答之后，我又讲到了两点。
Here's an honest man.
那么他呢？他是一个真诚的人。
Some other scientists might say some other things.
后来我就说了，其他的科学家又是用另一种方式来说的。
Like there's no such thing as a soul. That's rubbish.
啊，那么他们就说了，没有这个灵魂的存在等等。
Or something else.
或者是说点别的。
They just said we can't even talk about it.
然后他只是说到了，我们甚至都不会谈这个，不去触及到这个话题。
And then the second thought I had.
然后第二点是我想到的。
Was either he's wasting his time or I'm wasting my time.
要么是他在浪费自己的时间，要么是我在浪费我的时间。
Either he'll never know.Or I'm just imagining things.
或者是要么是他一点都不知道，要么是我自己在这里想象而已。
I don't have a doubt, but that was my thought. Either, so he's wasting his time.
所以呢，这就是我当时想到的，要么是他在浪费时间。
Because there isn't even the possibility of understanding where these elements come from.
那么呢，就是要了解到这些元素到底是从哪里来的，是有可能了解到的。
By empiric science.
啊，通过经验的科学，经验主义科学。
She got it? Yeah. Okay. It is Govinda whom they cannot describe how it all happens and where it all comes from.
那么他们实际上是难以用完整的这种理解去了解 Govinda， 这就 yes.
Okay. Govinda's illusory potency covers them.
那么 Krishna Govinda 用他的迷惑的能量掩盖了自己。
So within every atom there is the super soul.
所以呢，在每一个原子当中都有超灵。
They say it's a nucleus within every atom.
那么他们说是在每一个原子当中有
And they say so many things about what's inside the atom.
Sorry.
They say so many things about what's inside the atom.
那么呢，他们就是关于这个原子论有各种各样的说法。
What keeps those electrons running around in their different orbits and all the things that electrons do? What is that power?That causes electrons.
Electron 就是那个电子是吧？
什么力量？
是什么力量使这个电子在不断的运作
？That they will never know.
这是他们不能明白的。
They'll give this explanation or that explanation, and then change to another explanation.
所以呢，他们一会儿这么解释，一会儿那么解释，然后呢，又用其他的方式来进行解释。
And they will never know.
但是他们永远不知道其中的奥秘。
Let us go on to the next verse.
我们进入下一个诗节。
And this verse ends the section.
那么呢，这个诗节就是这个部分的最后的部分。
The verse is about Savita or the sun.
那么这个诗节说的是 Savita.
Who is the?
说的是太阳。
He's the Raja of all planets, the king of all planets.
那么呢？太阳是所有星球的国王，是所有星球之王。
And let's chant the verse together.
我们一起来念诵这个诗节。充盈无限的光华，是优秀灵魂的象征，世界的眼睛。我崇拜原始之主 Govinda， 为遵循他的命令，太阳驾驭着时间之轮，完成一己的旅程。
So we're going to discuss this part last.
那么我们来讨论一下这个部分。
The sun is moving on a wheel. A chariot wheel.
那么太阳呢驾驶着时间之轮，时间的战车。
We'll discuss that last.
哦，我们到最后的时候再讨论这个部分。
So modern science would have us accept that there's this solar system with the different planets. Sometimes they're still trying to decide if Pluto exists or doesn't exist. Latest is it exists.
那么呢，现在的科学家呢，他们接收这个，说了。
Modern science simply thinks of our solar system.
哦，那么就是太嗯，现在的科学家他们只接收太阳系这一说法。
And they have so many things that they say.
然后他们又说了，他们又自圆其说。
They even try to speculate.What's the composition of the sun? What makes it continue to burn?
然后呢，他们甚至在那里自己解释说，是什么使太阳自己在那里燃烧？太阳的成分是什么？
Let us hear some of the statements that come from scripture.
哦，我们现在来看一看从经典里引述的几段话。
According to Bhagavad Gita, the light of the sun comes only from the power given by Govinda.
那么呢，在佛家瓦坛佛家梵歌第十五章里面说到了，太阳的光辉只有是从至尊主Govinda那里流烟而出。
Translate.
太阳的光华，它是太阳的光华刺穿了这个整个世界的黑暗，它从我这里流烟而出，月亮的光华和火的火焰全都来自于我。
Govinda is the source of everything.
Govinda 是一切的根源，
including the light of the sun.
其中包括太阳的阳光。
Now here's an important, maybe a little subtle distinction between the sun, God, and the other demigods.
那么可能在这里面说，太阳神和其他的半神人稍稍有所不同。
Indra is considered the king of heaven.
那么 Indra 呢，被认为是天地的天堂的国王。
But Indra is a post.
但是呢 ，Indra 只是一个职位的名称，是一个职位。
During the lifetime of each Manu.
那么在 Manu 的每一个 Manu 的统治期间
，14 Manus in every day of Brahma.
那么在 Brahma 的一个白天一天当中，一共有14位 Manu.
The Indras keep changing. The different jiva souls take that post.
那么在 Indra 的这个职位呢，是由不同的 jiva 来充任的。
And the sun keeps shining for the duration of the entire universe.
那太阳的光辉呢，它照射到了宇宙当中的每一处。
So that's one distinction.
这就是他们之间的一个区别。
And here's a nice purport where Prabhupada discusses.More elaborately.
那么，希特帕帕德在要旨里面更为详细的阐释了这一点。
I'll summarize.
马哈拉吉来概述一下。
Demigods receive their posts because of their past piety.
因为半神人们因为自己的虔诚活动，所以他们得到了各自的职位。
Prabhupada specifies that the moon is a jiva soul.
那么这里面帕帕尤其说到了。月亮是 Jiva soul.
Jiva soul, just like us.
那么它啊、哦，那么月亮呢？它就像是我们一样，是个体灵魂。
But because of many, many, many pious activities, one Jiva soul is given that post of the moon.
那么其中有一个个体灵魂，因为它积累了许许多多的虔诚活动，
Or、
所以被得以任命的充任
the controller of the moon.
充任月亮的职位。
And the same can be said about the other demigods.
那么同样的，其他的半神人也是如此。
And then Prabhupada makes a distinction.
然后释迦帕帕德对他们等进行了区别。
The sun is different.
那么月太阳是不一样的。
Only the predominating deity of the sun, Surya Narayana, is an incarnation of the supreme personality of God.
那么只有太阳的主宰神子 Surya Narayana, 他是至尊人和守神的一个化身。
So it sounds like.
那么听上去好像是。
The sun is Vishnu Tattva.
那么听上去好像是太阳是属于 Vishnu Tattva 范畴。
Sounds like.
听上去好像是这样。
Let's hear some other references.
我们来看一看另外一段引述的。
In the chapter summary before chapter 23 of Canto 5.
那么呢，在第圣典摩迦瓦坛第五篇二十三章之前，第三篇二十二章里面讲到。
There are some statements Prabhupada makes about the sun god.
那么呢，是帕帕德在要旨里面谈到了，
He said,
太阳神。
Because of the services rendered by the sun god.
因为太阳神所做出的服务。
He is considered an expansion of Narayana.
所以他被认为是 Narayana 的一个扩展。
He represents the Vedas.
他代表了韦达经。
So he is known by a particular name.
所以呢，他又得名为
Trayimaya, the form of Lord Narayana.
Trayimaya, Narayana 的形体。
Sometimes the sun god is also called Surya.Narayana.
有的时候太阳神又被称为 Surya Narayana.
And like that, the persons who are practitioners of yoga, they worship Surya Narayana.
就像是有一些修炼瑜伽的人，他们崇拜 Surya Narayana.
Then he says, the demigod Surya is always in touch with the supreme personality of Godhead Narayana.
那么这里面又说到了拜神人 Surya.他总是与至尊人格守神连接。
So this sounds a little bit like, well, he's not Narayana, but he's empowered by Narayana.
那么呢，这一句话呢，就说明了他被至尊人格守神 Narayana 被赋予力量了。实际上，他并非 Narayana.
In the fourth canto, there's specific mention about Aniruddha being the source of the sun god.His expansion is the sun god.
那么呢，在圣典摩迦瓦坛第四篇里面说到了太阳神是主阿尼鲁达的一位扩展。
And then, in contrast, here's Canto 5, Chapter 20, commentary that says.
那么在圣典摩迦瓦坛第五篇二十章的要旨里面说到。
The demigod Surya is a powerful jiva.
说到了太阳拜神人苏雅是一位非常强有力量的基瓦个体灵魂。
Although the worship of the sun god is recommended in this mantra,
尽管这个曼陀罗推荐的是对太阳神的崇拜。
He is worshipped not as the supreme personality of Godhead, but as his powerful representative.
但实际上他并非但实际上并不是要把他崇拜为至尊人格守神，他只是作为至尊人格守神的一个很有力量的代表。
So which is it?
那么这是什么意思呢？
Is he a jiva?
那么他是一个 jiva 个体灵魂。
Or is he Vishnu Tattva?
或是他属于 Vishnu Tattva 范畴。
Who wants to decide?
谁啊决定一下他是属于个体灵魂还是 Vishnu Tattva 范畴？
A living entity that's empowered with the potency of the Supreme Lord Narayana.
那呢，它是属于被至尊人格守神 Narayana 赋予力量的个体灵魂 Jiva.
The demigods don't have that same position.
那么拜神人没有这样的地位。
They're empowered.
他们也是被赋予力量。
But you know, just to walk across the room, you're empowered.
啊，但是并不是说，就像是你进入一个房间，你要被这个授权。
To blink your eyelid, you're empowered.
啊，那么就是你要眨一下眼睛，也要是被授权的，被赋予力量。
If that power is withdrawn, you can't blink.
那如果这个力量被收回了。眨眼的力量被收回去了，我们是不能够眨眼的。
Or digest your food.
或者是例如这个消化食物的力量被拿走了。
Or see or breathe or do anything.
或者是这个呼吸的力量等等这些力量。
Anything that any living entity has comes from the Supreme Lord, a power from the Supreme Lord ultimately.
那么终极而言，所有生物体的力量之源就是来自于至尊人格守神。
So the message we're hearing is that. The sun god is especially empowered.
所以呢，那么在这里面可以了解到，太阳神他尤其被赋予力量。
Just think about it for a moment.
我们现在来想一想。
How much energy is coming from the sun?
太阳那里，太阳它得到了多少的能量？
Inconceivable.
是不可思议的力量。
And for how long has the sun been giving that energy? You could say burning.
那么呢，你可以说，那么太阳它被就是被赋予这个燃烧的力量，这样能够维持多长时间呢？
Where's that fuel supply coming that's creating all that heat and light?
那么它的这种总是在燃烧的这个光与热是怎么来的呢？
It's not ordinary.
是不同寻常的。
It's extraordinary.
是非常的不同一般的。
That's the message.
这就是这里所提供给大家的讯息。
Special empowerment.
那么它是尤其被赋予了特殊的力量。
What does it say down here?
那么现在这里是怎么说的呢？
That's Hindi, right? What does it say?
它的
Hindi 语
言。
哦，这个上面这个语言是什么语言？这下面标的那个。
You can read Hindi?
We're
telling a person. I'm asking him and he's not answering, but you're answering.
刚才是就是妈妈让他问那个印度的奉献者，下面就是那个写的是什么意思，然后那辛哈斯王就回答说这是 Vivas Swan 的意思。
Did you know that he can read Hindi?
你们知道吗？我们都不知道。那辛哈斯王居然会印度语。
Very talented person. OK, here's some services of Vivaswan or Surya.
那么 Vivaswan 或 Surya.
For the duration of the entire cosmic manifestation, he's supplying light and heat to all the residents and all the planets.
那么呢 ，Surya 它提供了一个服务，就是它为宇宙所有宇宙以及宇宙当中的所有的生物体提供了光与热。
And he doesn't send you a utilities bill.
而且呢，也不用付他账，不给他
买单，
也不用给他买单。
And if you're very selfish, you'll just take, and not even say thank you.
那么呢，而我们呢是这样的自私，我们总是从他那里索取，甚至都没有说一声感谢的话。
So some persons worship Surya Narayan.
所以呢，有一些人他们崇拜 Surya Narayan 太阳神
as a way of saying thank you.
那么这是他们对太阳神的崇拜，就是他们对太阳的感恩。
Now what about us?
那我们呢？
We worship Krishna.
我们崇拜 Krishna.
And by worshiping Krishna, we're worshiping all the parts and parcels of the entire cosmic manifestation and everything that exists.
那么我们通过崇拜 Krishna, 我们就崇拜了所有的这个宇宙当中的部分的这些部分的部分的部分。
And we serve him.
而且我们也崇拜了他，也服务了他。
He maintains the planets by manipulating rainfall.
然后他呢，还通过提供雨水来维系了宇宙。
Now we say that Indra is in charge of rain.
我们都说了 ，Indra 是掌管雨水的。
Can Indra take care of dispersing rain without the sun?
那么呢，这个 Indra 它能够在没有太阳的情况下提供雨水吗
？No.
不能。
Indra is dependent upon the sun.
Indra 是依靠太阳的。
The sun is not dependent upon Indra.
但是太阳不依靠 Indra.
It's that the sun sterilizes or makes things pure.
那么就像火一样，太阳神能够让不洁的东西变得圣洁。
Those who are engaged in the process of meditation,
那么那些从事冥想的人
，they considered a very important part of their meditation to fix their mind upon the sun.
那么他们认为他们冥想过程当中很重要的一个部分就是冥想太阳。
Because even subtle.Purification or sterilization comes from meditation upon the sun.
那么呢，甚至就是这种非常精微的这种净化，就是通过冥想太阳而得到。
according to Srimad Bhagavatam,
根据圣典国家晚谈说的,
the sun marks the path of liberation.
那么这里面说到了，太阳为解脱的道路铺出了解脱的道路。
There's a similar reference like that in Bhagavad Gita.
那在国家赞歌里面也有类似的说法。
The sun god Devaswan distributes the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita that he heard from Krishna.
那么晒太阳神 Devaswan 他把 Krishna 教授给他的知识传播开来。
He heard Bhagavad Gita long before we even heard the word Bhagavad Gita.
那么呢，太阳神早在我们聆听到国家梵歌之前，就聆听到了国家梵歌。
In his purport, Prabhupada gives this really big number, 120,400,000 years ago.
那么这里面说到了在一千1,240,000以前，国家梵歌就讲给了太阳神听了。
You've heard of Gayatri Mantra.
那么大家听说了 Gayatri Mantra.
According to Rig Veda.
那么根据说 Rig Veda.
Where this Gayatri Mantra is written.
那么呢在 Rig Veda 里面就写出了 Gayatri Mantra.
It was spoken by Savitri.
那么这是由
Savitri. It was spoken in honor of the sun god.
那么呢，这是由 Savita 讲述的，是为了荣耀太阳神。
In recognition of his very valuable service.
那么呢，这是一个非常珍贵的一个师姐。
So those who have Brahmin initiation.
那么在座的，如果谁得到了婆罗门启迪的。
That's the first of our Gayatri mantras called Brahma Gayatri.
那么Gayatri mantra 的第一个曼陀罗就被是
The Vedas,
Brahma Gayatri.
The Vedas supply Brahma Gayatri in honor of the sun god.
那么呢，在《伟达经》里面写出了 Brahma Gayatri 是为了荣耀太阳神。
So some people say that Gayatri mantra is worshipping the sun.
那么有一些人说 Gayatri mantra 这首 Gayatri mantra 是崇拜太阳神用的。
Some people say that Gayatri Mantra is worshipping the impersonal Brahman.
那么有些人说 Gayatri Mantra 这首 Gayatri Mantra 是崇拜非人格 Brahman 的。
Our understanding is that Gayatri Mantra is worshipping Surya Narayana. We're actually worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead through that mantra.
但是奉献者在我们的理解来，在我们看来，这首曼陀罗是崇拜 Surya Narayana。
Here's another reference from Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says, of lights, I am the radiant sun.
那么呢 ,Krishna 在国家梵歌的第十章说到了在发光物体当中我是光芒万丈的太阳。
The sun derives its power to shine.
那么太阳它具有这种发出光灿的这种力量。
From Krishna.
这种力量是来自于 Krishna.
And we'll end with just a little description about different worshippers of the sun god.
那么我们现在在结束的时候来描述一下崇拜太阳神的不同的崇拜者。
If you remember from yesterday,
如果大家还记得昨天讲的内容，
there's this pancho pasana process of worship.
那么关于这个崇拜有 pancha rachana 这样的一个崇拜的方法。
Pancha means five.
Pancha 的意思是五。
And Upasana means worship.
Upasana 是崇拜的意思。
So there are five deities that impersonalists say you can worship these five.
那么呢，那些非人格主义者说，你们可以崇拜这五个神祇。
Because they're manifestations in this world of the impersonal Brahman.
因为他们是在这个他们展现在这个世界上他们是展现在这个世界上的非人格 Brahman 的展示
Lord Shiva is one
主 Shiva 是其中之一
Ganesh is another
Ganesh 是另外一位
They call it philosophized Vishnu is another.
那么他们说是虚拟化的，虚拟化的。
And another is Surya, the sun god.
还有这个苏雅，还有太阳神。
Commonly people in this world, they worship the sun god for good health.
那么通常情况下，在这个世界上的人们，他们崇拜半神人是为了得到健康。
Because from the sun comes good health.
因为从太阳神那里被赐予健康，好的健康。
Maharaj, you know Bhima in Bombay. So one of our god brothers was sharing with me. Bhima Prabhu was sharing with me.
那我的一位神兄弟 Bhima Babu 曾经跟我一起分享过这样的一件事。
According to Ayurveda,
根据阿育吠达
one of the requirements for restoring health if someone's health is weak.
那么当一个人他身体虚弱的时候，他想恢复健康，他需要这么做。
Is exposure to the sunlight.
那么他就是要去晒太阳。
Or one of stated in the opposite way.
那么或者是有的人他相反的说。
An Ayurvedic practitioner will want to, when examining someone who's diseased.
那么呢，就是根据阿育吠达这个程序去调查一个人的这个生病的状况。
They'll want to know how much.Time do you spend out in the sun?
那么他就会去询问你到底晒了多少，就是花了多少时间去晒太阳。
So in addition to recommending exercise and walking, which is a common thing anybody will know.
所以呢，就是这样的，就是给他告诉他去做一些散步啊，锻炼身体呀、啊，等等这些方法。
Don't just do it indoors, do it outdoors.
就是要做一些户外的活动，锻炼身体，不要只是。
The sun brings good health.
所以呢，这个太阳能够给我们带来健康。
So those that want health, they worship the sun.
所以要想得到健康，就去崇就是崇拜半神人，拜太阳神。
Do you recognize this painting?
大家看出来这张图片没有？
对。Who is that?
这是谁
Satrajit is the story of the Shamantaka jewel.
那么这个故事讲的是 Shamantaka 宝石的故事。
Is based on Satrajit worshipping the sun.
那么呢，这是他是因为崇拜了太阳神，所以他得到了 Shamantaka 这个宝石。
Satrajit didn't live in Dwarka, he lived outside of Dwarka.
那么 Satrajit 当时并没有住在 Dwarka 城内，而是住在城外。
And he was an ardent worshipper of the sun.
而且呢，他那个时候特别热衷于崇拜太阳神。
Every day for hours.
他每天要花好几个小时崇拜太阳神。
Chant mantras and worship of the sun.
他那个时候一边唱诵曼陀罗来崇，通过唱诵曼陀罗来崇拜太阳神。
And he would make offerings of very valuable items unto the sun.
而且他给太阳神供奉很多价值连城的这个物品。
And he did this every day very devotedly.
所以他每天就是心怀非常带着这种奉献的精神去崇拜太阳神。
The sun god was so appreciative of his deep devotion.
所以呢，这太阳神对他的这种深深的奉献之情所取悦。
One day he came and visited the palace of Satrajit.
有一次，太阳神本人去到了 Satrajit 的家中。
And he gave him this special gift, a Shamantaka jewel.
并且送给他一个礼物，叫 Shamantaka 宝石。
It's a jewel never found in this world from the higher planetary regions.
那么这个 Shamantaka 宝石在这个地球上是找不着的，它是来自于高等星球。
From the sun planet itself.
那么是来自于太阳星球球体。
And the sun god said to Satrajit.
然后太阳神对 Satrajit 是这样说的。
If you worship this Shamantaka jewel,
如果你崇拜这颗 Shamantaka 宝石
two things will happen.
要么就会发生两件事。
Every day, you'll be given 70 pounds of gold.
那么每天你就会得到70吨黄金。
How many kilos is that?
70
pounds.
70磅黄金。70磅。
Every day.
每天都可以得到70磅黄金。
And the second thing that will happen.
然后还有一件事。
Is that whoever worships this jewel, that place where they stay, there'll be no disease, no irregularities of weather.
就是只要谁只要在就是崇拜这颗什么塔克宝石的这个地方，就不会有疾病，也不会有天气的恶劣的这种现象。
And Sir Trajit was really happy.
而Sir Trajit听了以后非常的高兴。
He said, "Surya Dev, you knew exactly what was in my heart."
然后他就说了 ，Surya Dev， 你太了解我的内心了。
When I was worshiping you, I wasn't really interested in you. I wanted things from you.
啊，当我崇拜你的时候，我真的是想从你那里得到一些东西。
And you've given me just what I want, money.
你就给了我我想要的钱、能力。
Power.
还有力量。
Thank you very much.
太感谢你了。
Pride in the heart can make.Big problems.
那么心中的骄傲会产生大的问题，很大的麻烦。
Sir Trajit lost his life because of, and his brother because of that pride.
因为他内心的骄傲，所以 Sir Trajit 他不仅自己丧命了，他的兄弟也为此付出了生命的代价。
Here's another example.
还有另外一个例子。
Can anybody guess who this is?
大家能够猜一猜这是什么吗？
Give you a hint. This is the sun god. This is the wind god. No. Yudhisthira. Because when the Pandavas were sent into exile,
那么当这个潘多拉五兄弟被流放到森林的时候，
Yudhisthira and the Pandavas did not have the resources to take care of all the guests that were visiting them while they were in exile.
然后呢，就是在他们流放森林期间，他们没有这个什么东西能够去招待他们家中的客人。
And Yudhisthira, being a perfectly qualified person of dignity and culture,
而且呢，这个 Yudhisthira 呢，他非常了解这个文化礼仪，礼仪的文化。
It was just unthinkable, unbearable for him to not be able to honor guests properly.
那么对于他来说，不能够恰当的去接待家中的客人，简直是难以接受、难以容忍的一件事情。
So he consulted the family priest.
所以呢，他就
family priest.
啊，所以呢，他就跟家庭的这个祭司跟他去询问他、咨询他。
Domya was the family priest.
那么东雅是他们家庭的祭司。
So Domya had the solution.
那东雅他就提出了一个解决的办法。
Immerse yourself up to the waist in the Ganges water.
那么呢，当你就是去到恒河岸边去做这些仪式的时候。
And chant the sacred mantras unto Surya Dev.
那你去念诵关于 Surya Dev 的。这个神圣的曼陀罗
and he'll address your difficulty.
然后呢，去向表达出你所内心的这个困难。
Yudhisthira followed his instructions.
然后 Yudhisthira 就按照他的训示做了。
And after some time, the sun god appeared, standing right in front of him.
后来过了一段时间，太阳神就来到他的身边，站在他的面前。
Now to Satrajit, he gave a jewel that gave money and power.
那么呢 ，Satrajit 呢，他因为崇拜太阳神，被赐予了这个黄金和力量。
But to Yudhisthira, he gave the facility for serving guests.
但是呢 ，Yudhisthira 他得到的这个得到的赐福就是很好的去招待他家中的客人。
You see in his hand this pot or bowl.
我们可以看到Surya Dev 太阳神手里拿了一个黄金的锅。
Surya Dev explained.
Surya Dev 他这样解释说。
This is a mystical pot.
那么这是一个神秘的锅。
You entrusted to your good wife Draupadi.
你把这个交给你的好妻子 Draupadi.
And whatever ingredients you put in the pot for cooking.
那么无论他在这个锅里放了什么东西
？The pot will supply unlimited quantity.
锅里的这个锅里就能够提供无量的这个菜肴。
But at the end of the meal,
但是在这个吃完饭之后
，After Draupadi eats,
在 Draupadi 吃完之后
，The pot will stop producing.
那么这个锅呢就不会再生产出菜肴。
So Yudhisthira was very happy.
Yudhisthira 听了以后很高兴。
Draupadi was very happy.
Draupadi 简直是高兴的。 不知
不得了
不得了高兴了太高兴了
So it has become known as Akshaya Patra or the pot that was can unlimitedly supply cooked foods
所以呢这个锅呢就被称为 Akshaya Patra 就是 Akshaya Patra Akshaya Patra 就是能够提供无量的菜肴的锅神秘的锅
Who's this?
这是谁
Srimati Radharani.
Srimati Radharani.
Did you know that Srimati Radharani also worshipped Surya Dev?
你们知道吗 ？Srimati Radharani 也崇拜 Surya Dev 太阳神。
There's a very nice story in Vrindavan about Radharani worshipping Surya Dev.
那么在 Vrindavan 关于 Radharani 崇拜 Surya Dev 有一个非常美妙的故事。
But I'll tell you this evening, so you'll come for evening class.
但是我今天晚上告诉大家，大家要参加晚上的讲课哦。哦。
抗议！抗议！
抗议！ I'll tell Maharaj later. While we're here.
我跟马哈拉就说，我说那那辛克斯阿米今天晚上不在这儿，啊，那帕达斯阿米说在课这节课结后结束之后，他会告诉我们辛克斯。
那
我。好的，我这样。
Of course, you said several times, Karna was a regular worshipper of the sun god.
那么刚才你说到了 Karna， 他经常崇拜太阳神。
Who was Karna?
Karna 是谁？
Karna is one of the is the first son of Queen Kunti.
那么 Karna 是 Kunti 皇后的第一个儿子。
Do you remember earlier when I described the benediction of Durvasmuni to Radharani that she would be able to cook differently each time she cooked, it would never taste the same?
那么大家还记得吗？在前几天课的时候讲到了。Durvasmuni 赐给 Radharani 一个祝福，就说他能够做，能做的每一道菜味道都不一样，而且非常的美味。
Durvasmuni also gave a benediction to Kunti.
Durvasmuni 也给了 Kunti 一个祝福。
Whenever Durvasmuni went to places, everyone was terrified.
那么只要是 Durvasmuni 所到之处，每一个人都恐怖不已。
Because Durvasmuni is a partial incarnation of Lord Shiva.
因为 Durvasmuni 是主希瓦的一个部分的扩展。
Like Lord Shiva,
他像主希瓦
whose name is one of his names is Ashutosh.
那么呢，他的一个名字啊，主希瓦有一个名字叫 Ashutosh.
Easily pleased and easily angered.
那意思是他很容易被取悦，也很容易愤怒。
More often, Durvasmuni showed anger.
那么呢 ，Durvasmuni 动不动就发怒起来。
And he was powerful.
而且非常的有力量。
So when Durvasmuni came to the area of the Hastinapur,
那么当 Durvasmuni 去到 Hastinapur 这个地方的时候
，everyone went in all different directions because look out, here comes Durvasmuni.
每个人都大叫着 Durvasmuni 来了，四处到处跑了。
Then he becomes angry. Everything's finished.
因为他一旦发怒的话，什么都完蛋了。
And he made a plan, if I remember correctly, to stay in Hastinapur for 30 days.
而且如果记得对的话，Durvasmuni 在 Hastinapur 待了三天。三十天。
We're here just for a week.Think of all the services that you have to do for us.
我们在这里待了一个礼拜，我想大家都做了很多服务。
Durvasmuni was there with 60,000 followers for 1 month.
那么 Durvasmuni 带着60,000的门徒跟他一起在 Hastinapur 待了整整一个月。
Well, Kunti was just a young girl when that happened.
那个时候，当 Durvasmuni 带着他的门徒去到 Hastinapur 待上一个月的时候，那个时候，Kunti 还是一个少女。
She saw this as a great opportunity to serve a brahmana.
后来她就想啊，这是服务这个婆罗门极好的一个机会。
Highly elevated brahmana.
这她是一个如此崇高的婆罗门。
So she served him very nicely for all of those 30 days.
所以呢，她就在这三十天当中呢，非常小心翼翼地服务了这位圣人。
And Durvasamuni was very pleased.
Durvasamuni 非常的高兴，非常的满意。
So he decided.He would give her a special benediction.
所以呢，多拉三摩尼决定要给昆提皇昆提一个非常特别的祝福。
He gave her a special mantra.
他给了她一个特别的曼陀罗。
Who she could use to call any demigod.
那么，昆提呢，可以用这个曼陀罗来呼唤任何一个半神人。
And in union with that demigod, produce a son.
然后他可以跟这个半神人结合，生产出一个孩子。
And then Durvasamuni left.
然后呢，多阿山摩尼就走了。
She was a young woman.
那个时候她还是一个少女。
Not married.
还没有结婚。
And really curious about this mantra.
所以呢，她对这个曼陀罗非常的好奇。
She tried to resist, but she couldn't resist just finding out what that mantra would do.
然后呢，她就想试一试这个曼陀罗是不是真的是奏效。
So she uttered the mantra.
所以呢，她就把这个曼陀罗念诵了这个曼陀罗。
And spoke the name of Surya.
然后她说出了 Surya 的名字。
And just like that, Surya came.
后来就是顷刻之间 ，Surya 本人就来到她面前。
She hid her face on her
他一下子害羞的把脸蒙上。
And Surya said, "You don't need to be shy."
然后苏雅说，你不必害羞。
This mantra has a very special effect.
这个曼陀罗是很奏效的。
And you can produce a child in such a way that your virginity will not be lost.
然后呢，你可以跟我有一个孩子，同时呢又保持你的处女之身。
So a child was conceived.
所以这个孩子是怎么出生的呢
？And I can't remember exactly, but either born from the ear of Kunti or something like that, and.So his name was given Karna, which means ear.
然后呢，这个孩子就是从耳朵里诞生出来的，所以他就为什么取名为 Karna? Karna 的意思是耳朵诞生出来的人。
Kunti didn't know what to do.
Kunti 不知道该怎么办。
He's got this little baby.
这眼前就这么有一个小婴儿，突然有个小婴儿。
And on his body.Was golden armor, even a little baby.
今天是他是一个小婴儿，浑身却穿着金色的盔甲，黄金盔甲。
No clothes, just golden armor.
他身上没有穿什么衣服，但是却浑身穿着盔甲，黄金盔甲。
Powerful Kshatriya.
他是一个非常有力量的 Kshatriya.
She didn't know what to do.
昆蒂不知道该怎么办了，傻了。
So she went into the forest and left the child in the forest.
所以呢，她就去到了森林，把这个孩子就扔到了森林里。
And later, a forest dweller found the child.
然后呢，就在这个
forest resident dweller.
然后后来就住在这个森林里的人呢，就发现了这个婴儿。
And he raised the child as his own.
并且他就是把这个孩子带回家中养了起来。
So although Karna was of royal order,
尽管 Karna 他是属于皇家后代
，because his parentage was unknown, but his father was a Shudra, he was accepted by the world as being a Shudra.
所以呢，但是呢，在表面看来他是。生长在一个书者的家庭，所以呢，世人就称他是书者的后代。
And by his natural disposition, he worshipped the sun god.
然后呢，因为他天性使然，所以呢，他就崇拜了太阳神。
He didn't know that the sun god was his father.
他甚至都不知道太阳神是自己的父亲。
And he didn't know that Kunti was his mother.
他甚至也不知道昆蒂是他的母亲。
But Kunti knew.
但是昆蒂知道。
And she felt terrible.
所以他感觉到挺可怕的。
And it's one of the very puzzling themes that weaves its way through Mahabharata, the emotions of Kunti knowing that her son is now on the other side against her other sons, the Pandavas.
那么呢，在《马哈巴拉塔》里面有非常详细的描述了当时昆提内心的这种复杂的这种悲伤之情，因为他知道自己的第一个儿子卡纳，他站在了潘德瓦五兄弟的对手的那一方。
It's a very deep mystery.
这是非常非常深邃的，而且非常非常神秘，非常非常神秘。
Did you see that drama in Mayapur where they? Had that drama of Karna portrayed, and that was really a fantastic drama.
那么大家就是在那个 Mayapur 有没有人见过就是奉献者演这个 Karna 的那一幕，是非常精彩的。
皇后的眼泪
啊 ，The Tears of Kunti.
啊
，The drama is Queen Kunti's tears.
Yeah, Queen Kunti's tears. So, if some of you like drama,
如果大家有大家喜欢这个戏剧的话
，find out who has the script for that drama.
那么去就是找一找关于这方面的脚本剧本。
In Mayapur, I'm sure they have a place where they have that script.
那么呢，肯定是在 Mayapur 肯定有这样的剧本。
Have it translated into Chinese.
把它翻译成中文。
And perform a nice drama about the queen, about Queen Kunti and Karna.
然后呢，去好好的去演一演昆蒂和卡纳之间的这一幕的戏剧。
And you can be Queen Kunti.
你可以扮演昆蒂皇后。
But you have to make your hair white.
但是呢，你得把你的头发染白了啊。
Just kidding.
啊，真是就是开玩笑。
So, any comments or questions?
大家有什么问题或者是补充的
？Yes.
Maharaj, 通过这一天的讲课，因为我们可以有几个来聆听这么高级的这个知识，这个读高阳岗的这个甘露的海洋，这个把我们这个甘露啊，把我们唱一唱。因为在这个海洋里面呢，我们摸不着头脑，而且呢，这一浪比一浪过来以后叫我们唱难，我实在受不了。以后我们呢，还想继续品尝这个甘露，但是呢，我们又没有这个这么大的智慧来解读这个知识。你能不能把这个这个高阳岗这个甘露浓缩以后？给我们领主的时候，然后能叫我们真正品尝一点，这个是最好的甘露。
Maharaj, this seminar is like the ocean of Gauranga, so it's very deep, profound, and also there are unlimited waves. So when you put us into such an ocean, but I feel that I'm puzzled, and it's impossible for me to understand all these things. So could you concise all these topics into a very simple language and make us very easily understand?
Ishvara Parama Krishna Saji Ananda Vegraha Aryamira Govinda
And here's the translation.
这里面有译文，我崇拜原始的主 Govinda.
Krishna, who is known as Govinda,
Krishna, 他以 Govinda 著称
is the supreme Godhead.
他就是至尊人格首神。
You don't have it.
Just from the temple.
He has an eternal, blissful, spiritual body.
他拥有永恒喜乐。和知识的身体躯形体
He is the origin of all
他是一切的根源
He has no other origin
他没有别的根源
And he is the prime cause of all causes
他是万源因为他就是万源之源
That's pretty concise, isn't it?
真是非常浓缩的是不是
Someone else
还有别的问题
像你讲的这个，一个人苦行加一个虔诚的活动，等于是，
等于骄傲，
等于骄傲。能不能举一个例子给我们看
？Yesterday you tell us such a thing that one's pious activity plus unclean heart equal pride.
Yeah.
So could you give us an example to illustrate it?
This material world.
这是在物质世界里。
The sons of Kuvera.
Kuvera 的儿子。
Coming up is the Kartik month.
他。
明天。
明天就是 Kartik 月了。
The month of Damodar.
就是 Damodar 月。
And we always, for the whole month, we sing the Damodar Astakam.
那么呢，在 Damodar 月的这一整个月，我们都会去唱诵Damodar Astaka 这首歌，八颂 Damodar。
At the end of that lila, after Mother Yashoda binds Lord Krishna.
那么就在这个逍遥时光结束的时候，亚瑟的妈妈她绑起了 Krishna， 用绳子绑起了 Krishna 的腰。
Dama means waist.
Dama 的意思是腰。
And Uttara means around.
Uttara 的意思是围起来。
So Damodara means Mother Yashoda binding Krishna around the waist.
那么也就是这个 Damodara 的意思是亚瑟的妈妈用绳子把 Krishna 的腰部绑了起来。
So Krishna is tied up to the grinding mortar with a rope.
那么 Krishna 呢就被用绳子绑在了木桩上，就是研磨的那个木桩上。
And Mother Yashoda goes to carry out the rest of her motherly duties.
然后呢，这样呢，亚瑟的妈妈就能够腾出手来去做她的其他的一些家务事。
And Krishna's left alone.
Krishna 那个时候呢，就独自一人。
But immediately his cowherd boyfriends they come to play with him.
但是呢，即便 Krishna 被绑起来了，但是那个时候立刻他的那些小牧人童们就去找他玩。
They love Krishna.
他们非常喜欢 Krishna.
And Krishna loves them.
Krishna 也非常深爱着他们。
So, even tied up, he's playing with his friends.
即便他被绑起来了，他还在那里跟小伙伴们玩得不停。
And then he looks and sees the two trees.
后来他就看到了有两棵树。
And he enters into another mood besides.Playing with the cowherd boys.
那么后来他就除了跟这个牧牛童们一起玩耍的这种心境之外，他又进入到了另外一种心境当中。
Or the previous mood of reciprocating with the love of Mother Yashoda.
或者是他的以前，在此之前，他还有另外一个心境，就是和亚修的妈妈回应亚修的妈妈的母爱。
Because he is the reservoir of all rasa.
因为 Krishna 是所有 rasa 之源。
All rasa is within him.
所有的 rasa 在他之内。
And he has unlimited devotees who are enjoying their exchange of love with him.
而且还有无数个奉献者，他们都和 Krishna 互相交流的彼此的奉爱。
So he thinks of his dear devotee Narada Muni.
所以呢，他看到了他的亲爱的奉献者 Narada Muni.
Seeing the two trees reminds him of Narada Muni.
他看到这两棵树呢。更改一下，他看到这两棵树呢，就让他想起了 Narada Muni， 他的心爱的奉献者。
Because Narada Muni made a statement.
因为 Narada Muni 曾经这么说。
He uttered to the sons of Kuvera.
他那个时候呢，他看到了 Kuvera 的两个儿子。
That you too will take birth as trees.
他那个时候 ，Narada Muni 就告诉 Kuvera 两个儿子，你们投生为两棵树。
But after some time, Krishna will deliver you, and you'll become free from that curse.
但是呢，一段时间之后 ，Krishna 会使你们得到救赎，然后恢复你们原来的身份。
And then the whole story of the cursing of those two is narrated.
那么整个就是 Narada。诅咒的 Kuvera 这两个儿子的故事是这样说到的。
Kuvera is the treasurer of the heavenly planets.
Kuvera 他是司库。
And he was very, very wealthy.
那么 Kuvera 是掌管这个财富的司库，他是非常非常富有的。
Why is it that treasurers are wealthy?
那么他为什么有这么多的财富呢？这么多的宝藏呢？
Something about being the treasurer, being wealthy. I don't know.
啊，有的时候这个司库他非常的富有。
先说
here. Okay.
No bad.
So, Narada was going to visit Kuvera.
Narada Muni, 他去到去造访 Kuvera.
And it was in the evening time.
那个时候是黄昏。
And it was in the gardens of Kuvera.
那么呢，他呢？那个时候去到了库尔的花园
where he saw the two sons of Kuvera standing completely naked and drunk.
他就看到了库尔的两个儿子喝得醉醺醺的浑身赤裸的
and they were enjoying water sport activities with naked women.
然后呢他们两个人就在水里面和那些浑身赤裸的少女们在一起嬉戏玩耍
The ladies covered themselves because they were shy.
然后那个时候呢，他看到 Narada Muni 来了，那些少女们，她们由于非常的害羞，就用衣服遮住了自己的身体。
Sons of Kuvera, they weren't shy at all.
但是呢，Kuvera 的两个儿子一点都没有害羞的这种感觉。
They stood naked in front of Narada Muni.
他们在 Narada Muni 仍然赤身裸体的。
So Narada Muni began to consider. It's very beautiful verses and purports.
所以呢，那么那个时候呢 ，Narada Muni 就说出了非常美妙的一个世界。
Narada Muni considered.
那 Narada Muni 这样想的，他当时想到了一些美妙的世界。
These two men are very proud.
这两个人非常的骄傲。
What is the source of their pride?
他们的骄傲的根源原因是什么呢
？The qualification of their husband, their father, is their pride.
那么他们的父亲的这种资格就是他们骄傲的原因
Their father is a great devotee of Lord Shiva
他们的父亲是主 Shiva 的伟大的奉献者
And so because our father is very dear to Lord Shiva We're very dear to Lord Shiva, we're special
所以呢他们就认为因为我的父亲对主 Shiva 对我的父亲非常的亲切所以呢我们对于主 Shiva 来说也是十分亲切的所以他们就这么他们就认为自己很特别
A second point Our father is very wealthy
还有第二点是我们的父亲很富有
We're sons of our father
我们是这个父亲的儿子后代
So we also have We share in his wealth
所以呢我们跟自己的父亲也同样的拥有这样的财富
To become sons of Kuvera There was piety in their previous activity.
那么呢，要成为了 Kuvera 的儿子，就意味着我们上辈子做了很多的虔诚活动，所以今生投身为他的儿子。
Because of that piety, there was prosperity.
所以呢，因为这种虔诚活动会带来繁荣昌盛。
But their heart was impure.
但是他们的内心并不纯净。
And so they were proud.
这就是为什么他们骄傲了。
And then he very, very nicely describes.When somebody is proud, how they conduct themselves.
所以呢，这个师姐就很详细的描述了，当一个人内心有了骄傲之情的时候，他的行为会是什么样子
？Read that section; it's very fascinating.
啊，来读一下这一部分，你们回去读一下这个部分，
是非常
美的。
The part I like especially is how a Vaishnava.We're trying to be Vaishnavas.
我们现在努力的去做奉献者 Vaishnava.
How do we contemplate being in the mood of service in a very challenging situation?
那么我们当我们面临巨大的挑战的时候，我们如何在内心仍然保持着专注于这种服务的心态呢？
His thought was going to the reality of the situation.And the best way to serve given that reality.
那么呢，我们要想到就是现实的状况，以及根据现实的状况，我们应该就是激励我们仍然让我们保持在这种服务当中。
That's one example.
给大家一个例子。
Here's another very popular example.
这是一个大家常用的例子。
Queen Kunti's prayers.
昆蒂皇后的祈祷。
She prays that.Persons cannot feelingly offer prayer and take shelter of Krishna.
那么呢他呢非常怀着深深的情感向至尊歌手神 Krishna 供奉了这样美妙的祷文。
If their heart is not pure and they're surrounded by opulence that come from past piety.
那么呢如果一个人的内心不纯净但是呢他又获得了因为以前的虔诚活动而带来的这些繁荣富裕。
Very important verse and an often quoted verse.
那么这是经常引用的一个诗节。
I can't remember the number, but you can look from the Sanskrit.
我现在还我不记得这个具体的是哪个诗节，但是大家回去可以查一查。
She names four.
那么
four fruits of piety.
他就是讲到了四个虔诚活动。
Janma, good birth.
Janma, 好的出生。
Aishvarya, opulent life.
Aishvarya 就是非常富有的一生。Aishvarya.
Excuse me.Gentlemen, Aishvarya, excuse me, Aishvarya.
Aishvarya.
Aishvarya of opulence. Shruta, good education.
Shruta, 就是好的教育。
And Shri, beauty.
Shri, 美丽。
So people who have piety.
那么一个有非常虔诚的虔诚活动的人。
Those are four ways in which that piety is manifest.
那么呢当一旦就是从事这些虔诚活动的人他们就会获得这四项虔诚活动的结果
So I do some piety
如果我做了一个我做了什么虔诚活动
Like Satrajit
例如像 Satrajit
He was worshipping the sun god That's pious
那么他崇拜了太阳神这就是他的虔诚活动
And he got all this opulence
所以呢他变得很富有
But his heart was impure
但是他的内心不纯净
So he was proud
所以他变得很骄傲
He put the Shyamataka jewel around his neck.
他把香巴汤克宝石呢戴在自己的脖子上，在那里炫耀自己。
And went prancing into Dwarka. Look at me.
然后呢，他就这样趾高气扬的去到了 Dwarka， 让别人就是炫耀自己的富裕。
He didn't even go and pay his respect to Krishna.
他甚至都没有去到宫殿里向 Krishna 表示敬意。
And then second,
还有第二点
he invited some brahmanas to perform an installation in Dwarka, not in his own palace, so he could worship the Shyamataka jewel in Dwarka.
然后呢，他 Satrajit 他没有在 Satrajit 没有在自己的家，而是在 Dwarka 的一个地方，在那里树立了对 Shyamataka 宝石的崇拜仪式。
And he didn't even think to invite Krishna.
他甚至想都没想要去邀请 Krishna 来参加。
So then the third thing.
然后他做的第三件事情是。
Krishna called him to come to visit him in his palace.
然后 Krishna 召唤他去宫殿里去觐见 Krishna.
And Krishna made a request.
然后 Krishna 也做出了一个请求。
He said, opulent things such as this belong in the royal treasury.
那么他说这个富裕是属于如此富有的这个司库。
So you should give the Shyamataka jewel to Ugrasena.
那么他就说了，无论有什么样的富裕，都应该是属于这个掌管财政的人的。所以呢，这个宝石什么那个宝石，应该给
Ugrasena，
应该是属于 Ugrasena。
And Satrajit said no.
那 Satrajit 说不，我不给他。
Because he was proud.
因为他内心骄傲。
And more things happen.
后来呢，就有更多的事儿接踵而来。
Oh, there's the three examples.
这就是给你的三个例子。
That's a good list for now, right?
我们从中可以学习到很多，是不是？
But read that verse by Queen Kunti. It's very nice.
那么，但是要回去阅读一下昆汀皇后祈祷当中的这个诗节。
Janma, Aishvarya.Shruta, Shri Bhir, Eda Mana Madak Puman, it says it makes the mind mad. Madak.
那么就是这四种虔诚活动的结果，好的出生，好的教育，美貌，还有财富，会让一个人冲昏头脑，变得疯狂。
So the solution is not throw away your wealth and make your body look ugly and don't go to school and it's not annihilate those opulences.
那么呢这个解决的办法就并不是说不让别去上学啦等等这些。
But make sure that those opulences or whatever it is that we have is used in Krishna's service.
所以呢，要确保这一点，无论你拥有什么样的财富，应该把它用来服务于 Krishna。
Okay.
好吗？
Anything else?
还有别的问题吗？
Yeah.
Who wrote the Brahma Samhita?
It doesn't say. It does not say.
那么刚才这个帕布就问说是谁写了 Brahma Samhita? 然后 Maharaj 说没说，没提到这个。
Brahma is a speaker, but who actually wrote it down doesn't say.
那么 Brahma, 婆诃摩 Brahma, 他讲述了 Sri Brahma Samhita, 但是具体是谁写的就不知道。
It doesn't come under the Vasudeva route. It doesn't come under that category.
It's not offered by Vyasadeva.
那么这个 Sri Brahma Samhita 不是 Vyasadeva 作者，不是 Vyasadeva。
Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.